Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, and I bring you greetings from our chaplains and their families stationed all over the world in every clime and place as they serve our Lord, bringing word and sacrament ministry to those who selflessly serve our nation. And a shout out to you veterans here, and of course, Mother's Day. It's a big day because, as you know, even in the military, there's a lot of mothers worried about their sons or daughters serving overseas. So it all comes together. And the text for today is Ephesians 6, and I'm gracious for Pastor to allow me to free text it today because this is the theme verse for our ministry to the armed forces. I guess you could probably understand why. But I want to make a clear point that this really applies to all Christians. As Pastor mentioned, we're talking about the church militant. We are at war every day with the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. It's an ongoing battle for our soul. And every one of you has been drafted into the Lord's army. When you were baptized, the Lord reached down into the muck and mire of your sinfulness and made you his child, called you by name. And once you had his name on you, you had a target on your back by the devil, Satan. Because now he has someone that he has to seek and destroy throughout your life to do everything in his power to get you to abandon your Lord Jesus Christ, to get you to abandon your faith, and to fall into hopelessness and helplessness. My friends, that's what we do. And now working with those who are called to profession of arms, one of the big things that we learn is that you've got to know your enemy. What drives him? What are the tactics that your enemy uses? What is his center of gravity is the military term. And this enemy, the devil, has one mission, and that is to get you into hell with him by whatever means is necessary. Hear these words again from our text. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, for that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's your enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We are at war. Being prepared is always on the minds of our men and women serving so faithfully in our armed forces. There's not a day that goes by that they're not ready or training to be more ready. They have to be ready at a moment's notice to answer the call, because once the alarm sounds, they don't have time to get ready. They have to be ready and answer the bell. And to be ready, they train, train, and train some more. They train as they would fight. Our military leaders do a pretty good job in ensuring our personnel are ready for combat. Our leadership works hard to get them physically and mentally prepared to make a defense for our country and know how the grace, by the grace of God, that they are supporting their own to the importance of the spiritual readiness, spiritual fitnesses. Even our commanders understand that it's important, and thanks be to God, because that gives us an opportunity to bring the gospel as they get ready physically, emotionally, and yes, spiritually. The Navy SEAL motto is, "The only easy day was yesterday." Seems pretty simple, but maybe that's how you feel in your vocation. The only easy day was yesterday. It's always going to get harder. And Abraham Lincoln once said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe." Preparation and being ready are critical in any planning, but especially in planning a defense. So it's important to be reminded that we truly are living in a church militant. We are present in a world where we are at war with the devil, the world, in our sinful flesh. So I ask you the question this morning, are you ready? Are you ready for the battles and sufferings that you will face every day? What is your plan to sustain you on the battlefield of life, temptation and suffering? How will you endure? What is your hope and confidence as you go into battle and suffering against the devil, the world, and your own flesh? Because we can't kid ourselves. We do live in a sin-sick world, surrounded by evil. In America, we may not yet be hauled out of our churches or homes or businesses by evil men, put on our knees in the city square with a gun or sword at our head where they say, "Renounce Jesus or die." Yet we know in other parts of the world that is happening today. Christians are being executed and martyred simply for their faith in Jesus. Yet here in our country, people are losing their jobs, their positions, their livelihoods, for giving a defense of the faith and speaking out against issues that go contrary to the Word of God. We are being told to keep your religion in the church, in this building, or in your home, but don't you dare bring it out to the public square. Oh yes, they say, you have freedom to worship, but don't bring it into the public. Don't exercise your religion. Hang your personal faith at the door, on the way out of your house or church, and don't bring it here. And how often have we given in and stood by quietly in a discussion in the public square about cultural issues and didn't speak out when God was being mocked or ridiculed or his law violated? We took our eyes off Jesus and began to look around at the winds and rough seas of the world. We were too afraid to speak in the public square to bring the truth of God's word and the gospel to bear. Did we remain silent simply because we didn't want to be labeled a bigot, judgmental, narrow-minded, or a proponent of hate speech, or dare we say, be canceled? We don't want to suffer for what we believe. Everyone wants to be liked and accepted. It's not easy to stand strong in the Lord. Now you may be saying, come on, chaplain, I'm in the middle of a war right now with an illness, a disease, a broken relationship, guilt or depression, addiction. I know what war looks like spiritually as well as physically. I've tried everything I can to fight, to win, yet the pain continues, and I am stricken, smitten, and afflicted. My friends, that is where God in our text points us to where we find our fortress, our help, our comfort, our armor. It is not within ourselves. We can't stand and fight alone. We need Jesus and his armor. We don't stand a chance against the enemy, the devil, without the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the devil will find a chink in our armor and bring us to despair and hopelessness. You know, even in physical war, we can give the troops the best equipment possible to protect them, buy them the best personal armor, up-armor their vehicles. Yet day after day, we see our troops killed in combat despite the heavy armor they are wearing. Many are killed by shrapnel or bullets despite all their training, all their combat gear, all their armor. The enemy found a chink in the armor. My friends, the devil will do the same to you. He knows the chink in your armor. He knows your weaknesses. He will attack and attack and attack where you are most vulnerable. Because remember, the ultimate goal of our enemy, the devil, and his evil schemes is to get you to hell with him, away from the cross of Christ. He wants you to doubt the promises and the word of God. He wants you to lose all hope in Jesus and fall into hopelessness and despair. Look around and we see so many examples of his small victories, suicides, murder, civil unrest, war. The ultimate goal through all that sin and chaos is to get us to be separated from our Lord Jesus forever. Thus, when we turn to our text for today, we find that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has prepared the armor we need to fight in this daily church warfare. But as we saw, the armor is not yours. It's not your pastor's. It's not anybody else's. It's God's armor. We see the comfort and absolute power of this passage of the Word of God. Listen to these words again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, not just parts of it, all of it. Why? So when the devil tries to tell you that you're not good enough to be a child of God, or you're too evil for God to love or die for, that Jesus couldn't have paid for your sins, your guilt, your evilness, you may be able to stand your ground and say, "Get behind me, Satan. I am a child of God," because God gives you his armor, his Holy Spirit to fight. And the first piece of gear that he gives us that we're going to talk about is the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That's what keeps us centered in any kind of combat soldier gear. That belt that holds all that gear together is crucial. It's important that Paul uses this military language in this text. The belt that holds it all together is truth. And that's an interesting topic today, isn't it? How often do we hear in the news and social media circles, there is no truth, there is no absolute. What is truth? Even after Pontius Pilate made that great claim, right? You have your truth, pastor has his truth, I have my truth, it's all fluid. Well, we know that it's not true. We know what truth is. Jesus himself said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior who cannot lie. He who cannot lie has promised you eternal life. We live in a world where there seems to be no truth. And it started in the beginning in the Genesis with the fall, where the devil said, "Did God really say?" Getting you to doubt. But we don't doubt the words of our Lord, because God, as our text clearly says, who cannot lie, has promised you eternal life. He has sent Jesus to live, to suffer, to die, to rise again for you. That's the promise you have. That's the truth of your armor that holds everything together. You know the truth, the way, and the life. And then we have the breastplate of righteousness. We who are dead in our sins and soiled by evil, God makes that great exchange. In other places in Scripture, we hear about the robe of righteousness, where Christ takes our sinfulness and gives us the robe of righteousness. But here, Paul, being consistent with his military language, says the breastplate of righteousness. And again, at our baptism, God made that great exchange, took your sinfulness and put on you the righteousness of him. He imputes, he gives it to you. You are now declared not guilty. He gives you life, forgiveness, and salvation. So no matter what accusations the devil throws your way, or how bad you are, or how good you think you are, your righteousness is as filthy rags. But you have Christ's breastplate of righteousness that can't be penetrated by your devil, by the devil, your horrible enemy who wants to destroy you. Yes, you could now say that God literally looks at you with cross vision. He looks at you through the cross of Christ and sees a righteous saint of God purchased and won by Jesus Christ. And that breastplate of righteousness is given to you as your daily armor against the lies of the devil. And then you have the shield of faith. When the Holy Spirit created faith in your hearts to cling to that truth of his promises, clings to his word of forgiveness, hope, and healing. Jesus said you can have faith like a mustard seed and move mountains. This is a faith that clings to the cross and puts out the flaming arrows that the devil shoots at us and throws our way. The Holy Spirit who is given to you at your baptism continues to strengthen that faith through his holy word. Through the Lord's Supper, we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. What a great piece of armor God gives us, the shield of faith. And then we have the helmet of salvation. By the grace of God, for Christ's sake, through faith, we are saved. I think it is simply summed up by putting on that helmet is the knowledge of God that we know the end of the story. We know that we are saved, that no matter what happens, we know how it will end, that we will be in heaven with Jesus no matter what trials and tribulations come our way in this earthly life, the sadnesses, the challenges, we always know that we are saved by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is a two-edged sword that beats back the devil and his lies. Jesus himself used this in his own temptation against the devil, telling the devil that this is what God says in his word. This is the offensive weapon that God gives us. We sang it in the hymn of A Mighty Fortress, where Luther so boldly proclaims, one little word can fell him. There will be those who continue to doubt the word of God, but not us. We know that the word of God is the sword of spirit, and how precious is the collect of the word. Listen to these words that remind us of the importance of this spiritual armor. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, as the King James, but the new one says, take them to heart, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God. My dear friends, read it, mark it, learn it, inwardly digest it, in the morning when you get up, during your day, in the evening before you go to bed. It's a powerful piece of gear that God gives you in your daily struggles and battles against your enemy, the devil. And finally, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Oftentimes, this one is overlooked. Maybe even you don't remember it much in your Sunday school lessons with the Roman soldier and the armor of God. But as any foot soldier, any grunt marine will tell you, it does matter what you have on your feet. You must take care of your feet. So this piece of gear that Paul talks about is important to the Roman soldier. In fact, they used to have spikes on their sandals to help them. Because listen through that text how many times he tells you to hold the ground, stand firm, stand strong in the Lord. It's still boots on the ground, battle that must be done. Even today, we talk about air wars, but it still talks about boots on the ground. It's so important when Paul uses this and what he says this weapon is. It's feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The Lord is reminding us that because of all that we have just heard and believe, we know that we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and now we're ready to move out. We are ready because we have the gospel of peace. What a powerful message from our Lord. This is the peace which passes all understanding. It is the peace of God that knowing that we are forgiven, that we are saved, that we are redeemed children of God. The peace that gives us the strength to continue in this veil of tears, in this church militant, this present warfare, because we know the end of the line. We know that we are forgiven children of God, and the God who loves us will never leave us nor forsake us. The peace that comes from knowing that all things work out for the good and according to his purpose. The peace that comes that even though while we will continue to feel pain, and you will feel pain, many of you are already in pain, feel sadness, struggle with your own pet sins, pain in your relationships, pain and illness and disease, loneliness in the loss of a loved one. Yet in all that, we stand firm, trusting in our Lord Jesus, trusting that even as we live in this sin-sick world and all that comes with it, heaven is our home. Our Jesus has defeated our enemy and given us the armor we need to endure until our end comes or Jesus returns again on that last day. In the meantime, in this church militant, as drafted in the army of God, we move out and share that great peace and gospel with our neighbors. So again, I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for war and suffering? Are you ready to face the temptations that will befall you? Are you ready to be persecuted for your faith, to be face pain that may come your way in a disease, an illness, a relationship lost? Are you ready to stand firm in Christ against all odds? Yes, yes, you are ready because God has made you ready in Jesus. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.